But if I say I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. What is it that burns in me?
Good morning. My name is Nathan. I'm one of the teaching pastors here at Shelter Rock Church. It is a pleasure to be with you this morning. I was here with you last Sunday. I really enjoyed our time together. And you know what? We're less than 3 days away from a new year. Actually, a new decade, if you think about it. This is a time for setting goals and making resolutions. And here's one. Let go and let God. Now, I know that sounds cliche, you know, let go and let God, but have you ever thought about what that means? To let go and to let God. To let go of some things and let God do some things. So, I know it's easier said than done, but still, we should let go and let God in the coming year. On Christmas, I gathered with some friends to celebrate Christmas with a great dinner. We had so much food. As we were sitting around the table, we talked about our upcoming goals and resolutions. You know, some of them were like eat right, lose weight, especially after the holiday, save more money. One person said study the New Testament. They'd been working through the Old Testament. They're like, let me get into the New Testament. Travel more. Make new and more friends was another person's suggestion. Perhaps even change jobs. Maybe you have some of your own. Well, goals and resolutions are great, although we often fail at them. And the question becomes, is there anything that can really help us accomplish the most important things in life? And there is. I mean, sometimes we feel stuck, unable to let go of the past, that kind of crowds out living in and enjoying the present moment. We want to move on, but the past looms large. Not only that, but the past and the distractions of the present problems often make it, well, almost impossible to visualize the future, to plan, and to set goals. I don't know about you, but sometimes it's just so hectic. And who even has a moment to kind of pause and plan ahead and make plans with any clarity? Sometimes the past calls out to us, well, loudly. It can be a smell, maybe of turkey, or a song, or a place, or a time or date. And it triggers something in us that makes it hard to move forward with our lives and with our faith. 6 years ago, I was downstairs here in the church in the alcove. I was in a class called A Life Worth Exploring, and I received a call about my mom. Now, mom had been sick for a while. She'd had a stroke, and she wasn't doing well. She had been spiraling downward, and actually, today's her birthday. This is my mom, by the way. She's pretty, right? And my sister Abby is also in the picture. But so I'm down in the alcove, and I knew mom wasn't doing well, and we're in the middle of the class. I get a call. I step out of the class, and I'm taking the call. And they're like, Nathan, you need to come to Indiana. This is where I'm from. We don't think mom has much time. And so I'm scrambling. I didn't have a car at the time. A friend of mine lent me his car. I leave within a few hours of getting that phone call, and I got midway into New Jersey, and I got another call, and it said that she had passed away. And I felt empty. I felt like I wanted to be there. You know, you want to be there. And I felt like I lost something. And it was hard. Well, because today's her birthday, it triggers, well, all kinds of memories, and actually mostly fond memories and positive memories. I remember many things that she told me, and she taught me by the way that she lived her life. You know, at times the past is powerful. I mean, sometimes overpowering, the present is so frenzied, and the future seems unclear. What do we do when we stand at the precipice of a new decade, when we're standing on the edge of a new year? What do we do? I mean, as we ponder the prospects of tomorrow. I mean, have you ever found yourself at the corner of past, present, and future, that intersection? And it seems so confusing despite the signs. I mean, where am I? Where have I been? Where am I going? You know, these questions, what's the next right step? Have you ever been there? Does it seem confusing? Well, I won't pretend to have a simple one-size-fits-all answer to kind of unchain us from the pain of the past or calm the chaos of the present or even to clear away the haziness of the future. But I can offer you three things I learned from the Apostle Paul and Mom that when put into practice go a long way toward helping us live the life that God has called us to and embracing and enjoying the important things in life. So what I learned from Paul through God's word and my mom, I want to share with you. Open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 7 through 16. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 16. Says this with verse 7, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ." The Greek word there for garbage is refuse, dung. "And that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us, then, who are mature, should take on such a view. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained." Let's pray. Father, I pray that by your Spirit, you help us today. First of all, to know that you're here. To commune with you, God, but also that you would help us to let go of our past, God, as we connect with you now, and Lord, that we could press on into the future. Lord, that you would help us to set goals, Lord, that you would help us to live in the moment, Lord, that you would help us to untether ourselves from the things that hold us back, God. I pray that you take these words, my words, and turn them into your words, God. Lord, let me only speak what you would have me speak, and by your Spirit, transform and change lives. Help us as we enter into a new year, a new decade. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, the first thing I learned from my mom and Paul was to let go of the past. I mean, this is the first right step. Mom and Paul let go of the past generally. My mom was pretty good about letting go of the past. There was this little World War II thing she had an issue with. But to tell you the truth, my mom, she kept a very short list of grievances. She would just move on. She didn't dwell in the past. She was very much in the moment. And her sister, not so much. She had a hard time letting go of things, my aunt, that is, grudges and the like. And the truth is, my mom just was freer. She was able to turn loose of things. And notice what the scripture says here. It tells us, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss." Notice he's talking about the gains, not just the failures. All for Christ. You see, we have to consider how many things, everything, successes and failures, as worthless. I mean, you know, we have to forget the past, the grudges, the wounds, the accomplishments, the achievements, the grades, the promotions, betrayal, losses, everything. You see, sometimes, you know, it's not even the pain of the past and bad things that hold us back. It's sometimes we're resting on our laurels, our past achievements. We hang on to things. There's nothing wrong with being able to look back at some good things that have been accomplished and help us to be spurred on. But the problem is when we fixate on it, we hang on to it, we cling to it, and it holds us back. Whether it's good or bad, we have to let go of the past. I mean, what is it that is tethering you to the past? Is it a bad job? I've had them. Is it a bad class or a bad grade that you got out this past semester? Is it a bad relationship? I mean, a betrayal? Is it a grudge? Whatever it is, you fill in the blank. What is it that has me tethered to my past that I can't seem to break free of? I mean, why is letting go of the past so hard? Why can't it just be as easy as singing a song? Or why can't we just magically let go of things? Kind of like, you know, in a Disney film. Kind of like this.
I'm never going back. The past is in the past. Let it go, let it go. When I'll rise like the break of dawn. Let it go, let it go. That perfect girl is gone. Here I stand, and all I left is. Let the storm rage on. The cold never bothered me anyway.
Well, if you're like me, you're probably thinking, well, life isn't a Disney film. And it's not that easy. And really, it's not always that easy. Easier said than done. I mean, the truth is, the cold does bother us sometimes. Right? You ask my niece, she hates the cold, particularly winter. I actually like the cold. I was sad that Christmas didn't have snow. The cold does bother us sometimes, particularly emotional coldness. When I was little, this is me, with my sister Natalie in two of those frames, my first grade picture. Yeah, I'm cute, right? What happened? I don't know. when I was 3 years old, I lived with my grandparents. I was very close to my grandfather. I call him Papa. And some of you may know this story, but we heated our house with a wood furnace, so we had to go out and cut wood, make wood, as they say. And I wanted to be wherever he was. So, you know, it's fall, we're cutting wood, and we went out back to the back 40 of the property. There's 110 acres or out in the woods in Indiana, essentially. And I'm in the truck with some of my siblings, and there's even an infant still. I'm one of eight, and my grandmother's holding one of the babies, and I'm throwing a fit. I want to be with Papa, and he's out cutting wood. So I managed to get my way to get out of the truck, and I go up to Papa, and Papa says, hey, this is dangerous. He was splitting wood. But you see, if you come to a piece of wood that has a knot in it, you can't just use a chainsaw. It won't go through it just right, and an axe won't split it exactly. So what you do is you take a wedge, a steel wedge, and a sledgehammer, and you drive the wedge into the wood, and it splits it. Well, he said, stand back behind me and while I do this. So I did. I was probably 10, 15 feet behind him. And as he struck the wedge with the sledgehammer, a piece of the metal chipped off, went back between his legs, and went through my eye. Now, if you'll notice the first two frames, you see how bright-eyed I am? This happened when I was three. My first grade picture, you can see that my eye is still damaged. I'm blind in my left eye. Actually, the metal is still back there. It was very close to my brain. So they left it. So I see nothing. I don't even perceive light. The optic nerve was cut. But something happened more than me not being able to see. Something happened with my grandfather after that. He felt guilty. Really guilty. And I didn't know it. I can look back now and put words to it, but his guilt hanging on to that created a distance between us. And I didn't know what was going on at the time. I still wanted to be around Papa. The great thing about kids is we live in the moment when we're kids. I did not think about this. I almost never think about my eye being injured. I've gone through life all these years since I was 3. But he couldn't turn loose of it. And it really hurt our relationship. I didn't have words to express. I didn't know. All I knew is there was a distance, a coldness that happened. And it wasn't because he didn't love me. It was because he was ashamed. He was hurt. He was feeling guilt. So what do you do when you can't turn loose of the past? There are some things that you can do to help you let go of it. I mean, like I said, I don't have a one-size-fits-all, but one of the things is this. You know that word for forgetting in this passage? The scripture says this. If you put that slide up, but whatever were gains to me now, I consider a loss. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, that word forgetting, in Greek it means to neglect. It means to neglect, like you would neglect a plant. I mean, some of us are experts at neglecting plants. Well, without even trying, we're experts. In fact, my friend Tammy is a real expert at neglecting and killing plants. She had a potted tree once. It was beautiful. And it was taller than I am. And she loved this tree when she got it. But she neglected it so badly that, well, it died. And, well, it looked like, according to her, these are her words, like a pool stick in a flower pot. And she wasn't wrong. I went over to her house, and it went from having all these leaves to nothing. And the trunk of this little tree was strangely straight. She wasn't wrong. It was like a pool stick. But my point is this. Stop watering the past. Let it wilt. Eventually, it'll die. Enough temporal distance and neglect will lead to the death of the past. You see, my niece, we were sitting around the dinner table, she was talking about a relationship she's having a hard time letting go of. And I'm glad she was willing to share that with me. But sometimes they're hard, she says, because she says, it seems like your heart chooses for you. You know, it sounds very poetic. But when it's choosing something that hurts you, and you don't feel like you can get away, she's like, I feel like I almost have to move away. Anyone ever been there? Whether it is an accident that makes you feel ashamed, or maybe it's a bad relationship, it's hard to let go sometimes, but part of it, at least, when it comes to the past, part of the answer is really not so much to fight against it as it is to resolve to neglect it so that it will die like a plant. I mean, speaking of neglecting plants, there was an unusual shopper that, she returned a Christmas tree to Costco one January for a full refund because it was dead, she said. Well, bizarrely, the woman apparently managed to get her money back in full despite taking the battered fir tree back a full 10 days after December 25th. I mean, you know, Costco, they're good about returns, but don't take advantage of them. It's not good. Well, despite the absurdity of this woman's request, the principle remains. If something does not receive attention and nourishment, it'll die. Even if it's the past. So, and by the way, if you need help with this, our church, we have counselors here at the church? You can come in and receive counseling. See, the next right thing, or baby step, really these are baby steps that we do, is to neglect the past until its leaves fall off and it withers into obscurity. I know it's easier said than done, but neglect the past. Let go of it. And the second thing I learned from my mom and Paul is this. Take hold of the present. This is the next right step. And my mom was very good at this. The scripture says, I want to know Christ. This is the goal. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings. Take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Mom was very good at living in the present. I mean, maybe too good. I mean, she was aware of the now. She was spontaneous. I can remember times when she would say, hey, just out of the blue, she said, I'm about to take a car ride. If you want to go, get in the car. And if you know my mom, she did not wait for anyone. We would be grabbing our shoes, or sometimes not even the shoes, running out. And I know this was dangerous, but the car would be in motion and we'd dive through the window to get in. My mom lived in the moment. I mean, if she wanted to take a ride, the ride was now. I mean, you talk about being instant in season. We were like Minutemen, you know. She was ready to do things, but it was a lot of fun. We lived out in the country. Sometimes she'd take these drives. There's no traffic, you know. So she'd weave in and out around the road and just kind of wavering all over the road. Sometimes it was a little scary. She had night blindness. It was something with my mom. But it was never a dull moment. I mean, we didn't have much, but we enjoyed what we did have. And she was spontaneous, and I loved that about her. I mean, and here's the thing. Here we are today. We've got children and spouses and loved ones, and we're so caught up either in the past or so frenzied by the present that we don't enjoy them. I have a sister who works over 100 hours a week, and her biggest complaint is, I never see my kids. We need to enjoy the present. You see, Christ has already done something. Redemption has been accomplished. It's already attained. Now is the day of salvation, presently. See, we have to cultivate a God consciousness. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean, being aware of and enjoying the presence of God now. You know, God is here. And sometimes just pausing and saying, thank you. Or spending time with him. I mean, after letting go of the past and the craziness of the present, we have to let God, let go and let God, let him rule in our hearts and in our minds to direct our steps. The scripture says, stay in step with the Spirit. The goal is to know Christ, to know him. Remember last week, you may not have been here, but I shared that this Hebrew concept of know, yada, it doesn't mean just intellectual knowledge, head knowledge. It means an ongoing, dynamic, intimate relationship with him. It involves prayer, speaking to him and listening to him, listening for his voice, communing with him. And we have to realize that we haven't arrived yet, although we have already attained salvation through faith in Christ, through the faithfulness of Christ. I mean, there's still a journey ahead, but we get there by staying in step with the Spirit and by moving step by step with the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus took hold of us to save us so that we could spend eternity with him. I mean, he wants to use us to take hold of others and for the same purpose. You see, you might be here and you think, maybe you're feeling condemnation. Maybe like my grandfather, there's something you can't turn loose of. Or maybe you're distracted by something present and you have all these doubts. But Jesus, with his nailed, scarred hands, has taken hold of us. You are firmly in the grip of grace now. And so you don't have to fear. And you see, we need to live up to what Christ has already done, what he's paid for, that he's given us salvation. It was attained by God's grace through faith, by the faithfulness of Christ. And this is how we're made righteous and share this good news with others. There are a lot of people that haven't even heard this. They don't know that there's a Savior trying to reach down and grab them and pull them up out of sin. See, in the previous chapter, chapter 2, Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He says, work this out, live this out in some way. One translation says, that is, with reverential awe and conscientiousness to a fault, work through your salvation. People need to see you live out the salvation. They need to see you in communion with God now. And you see, this we have to live up to something. And we live out what we live up to. Christ has accomplished something. He saved us by his death on a cross. We need to live up to the redemption that he's provided for us. And this is not an easy race. This whole passage has the image of a race being run, heading toward a finish line, a goal. And it's not a short race, it's a super long distance marathon, and it's so much easier if we run this race together. The scripture says that be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. That starts the race in us. And by the way, if you need some help running this race and knowing about God's presence now. We have a class called A Life Worth Exploring that'll be starting in January. You'll be around other Christians. You go through the book of John, but it helps you become aware of God's presence now. Because this is a race you don't want to run alone. And thirdly, another thing I learned from my mom and from Paul is this: press on toward the future. I mean, we let go of the past, we take hold of the present, we live in it, but we press on toward the future. Mom pressed on. I have to say that about her. Now, she wasn't great at planning, I'll be honest with you. She was very spontaneous, lived in the moment. So I wouldn't call her a planner, but I will say this about her. She knew how to press on despite her circumstances. I always admired her tenacity, her stick-to-itiveness. My mom went to work every day. She didn't miss work, like one time in 10 years. My mom did not miss work. And sometimes her steps were slow, but they were sure. They were sometimes baby steps, but they were always incremental. She would always move toward the next right thing. Sometimes we think about all the possibilities that lie out in front of us and try to plan, but sometimes the thing that we need to do is just take one more step doing the right thing. It makes it a whole lot easier. And we have to pace ourselves. This is a super long-distance marathon. It's not a sprint. It's not over until we see Jesus at the finish line. The goal is to be with him. The scripture said we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And my mom was one of those. Do you know that as we run this race, there are people cheering us on? Keep running. Don't give up. Cross the finish line. So pace yourself. See, mom and Paul, well, they would do just the next right thing. She would press and strain forward. I mean, not just with work, but she had 8 kids. You talk about baby steps. Giving birth to 8 kids. You talk about straining toward the future. My mom knew something about this. So we press on toward the future. The goal is union with Jesus. Now, enjoying him now, and in the age to come. Heaven is the goal. The finish line is to be with Christ. And you see, I know we have all kinds of goals, and we should have them. Goals are good. I mean, for example, you might have resolved, I'm going to do better with my finances in the year to come. If that's you, and in January, we have a class called Financial Peace University. It's turned some people's financial lives around. These are important things, but don't neglect the most important thing. You want to be found in Christ. You want to be united with Christ. The prize on this race, it doesn't go to the strongest or the fastest. Do you know that? Because you might think, well, I'm not very fast, or I don't feel very strong. It goes to the one who endures to the end. It's not a gift for only one person. It's for everyone who endures to the end. And if you stay in step with the Spirit, if you let go and let God help you, you'll cross the finish line. The heavenly prize is paramount. Pressing on is so much easier when we cut ties with the past. You see, we've been transformed, called forward and upward by God's Spirit. The scripture says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. See, the race requires endurance and pacing. It requires us to focus on the prize. In the book of Hebrews, it says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, the author and the finisher of our faith. Because of the joy set before him, he endured the cross. This is hard to imagine. Jesus was able to endure going to the cross because of a joy set before him. He was able to look ahead and see the finish line. And despite all the obstacles, Golgotha and the pain and the suffering and the shame, he's able to go forward. And we're called to do the same thing. See, there is a finish line. So we have to untether ourselves from that. The thing I don't like about this image, here's my critique of this image. It's a pretty image. But this butterfly, I'm impressed, is pressing on. But I'd be more impressed if the butterfly cut the cord with what was weighing it down. I mean, it's good that you press on. You'll have obstacles, no doubt, so we want to press on. But it's so much easier to move forward if we cut the ties with the past. The weight that holds us back, the sin that so easily besets us, the condemnation or the shame of an accident or maybe some bad choice we've made, letting it go, living with God in the moment, spending time with Him, and then moving forward, staying in step with the Spirit. You see, despite the circumstances, whatever they are, we're called to press on, to strain forward toward the goal. Let go and let God. Reaching the goal involves a series of next right steps. Incremental. The next right step is always this: letting God lead and guide us. I mean, this is the perspective God wants us to have. This is the view He wants us to have concerning our lives, especially as we're entering a new decade, a new year. He wants us to leave the past behind and enter a new time with Him. And here's the thing, if you have any doubts, if you get off course, God will make things clear. You have to see through the lens of faith. Verse 15 says this: all of us then who are mature should take such a view. We should be taking this view of things. And if on some point that you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Sometimes as we're running this race, things get dark or complicated or confusing, and our perspective gets off. But know this: God will make things clear for us. He'll help us to see. And He won't abandon us in darkness or confusion. This passage, there's a passage in Hebrews that says, He'll never leave you or forsake you. He's running alongside you. I often say this, but that passage in Greek, it says, I will not never, no, not never leave you or forsake you. Five negatives. Not a double negative like English, but five negatives. Why? To drive home the point, He's not going to leave you. He's with you always, even till the end of the age. And He will be present with you to help clarify your vision and help you take the next right step. So, as we enter a new decade, what are some resolutions? Well, I have three suggestions, and they're these. Let go of the past. If you take anything away today, take these away. Let go of the past. Take hold of the present and press on toward the future. You have to turn loose of what tethers you to the past, whether it's a success or a failure, whether it's a shame or something you're overjoyed about. And take hold of the present. Live now. Spend time with your family. Enjoy God's presence now. Not tomorrow, now. And then press on toward the future, which isn't always easy. Sometimes it does require pressing or straining. But pace yourself incrementally. Keep your eyes fixed on the prize. That's Jesus. You've got a cloud of witnesses that are cheering you on. It's really just about doing the next right thing that the Spirit shows us. And taking one more step at a time, even when everything seems dark. As I was preparing for this message, I was trying to think, you know, it's Family Sunday. What's something I could show? Well, Frozen. Michelle Tomlinson suggested, hey, there's a great clip there. I think she's right. And she said, do you know there's a second version of that? I said, really? I actually went and saw it night before last to do my homework. I'm not saying it's an adult film, so, you know, a film that everybody, but there were some lyrics at the end of it that I thought were useful. Disney is not the gospel. But they do borrow some ideas from Christianity, from our Christian culture. And there's a song in there called The Next Right Thing, because one of the characters is facing all these choices and doesn't know what to do. And she's trying to figure out what's going on. I'm confused. And the lyrics go like this. So I'll walk through this night, stumbling blindly toward the light, and do the next right thing. And with it done, what comes then? When it's clear that everything will never be the same again, then I'll make the choice to hear that voice and do the next right thing. We have to let go and let God. Hear God's voice speaking to you today. Make a choice. to hear God's voice and be in step with the Spirit. He will lead and guide you into the next right thing. He'll help you to let go of the past and press on toward the future, and all the while, he'll be present with you, going through all the struggles, all the temptations, all the things that you're dealing with. And you can know him intimately now. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you take human words and use them. If someone here today doesn't know you, has never committed their life to you, but they think, this makes sense, this sounds good, I pray that by your Spirit you would introduce yourself to that person. Lord, that for that person who's confused about how to turn loose of the past, God, that you would help cut ties, Lord. For the person who is overwhelmed and confused with what to do now, Lord, I pray that you make yourself known, that you would reveal yourself so that your people would know you, that you're an ever-present help in the time of trouble. And God, for all of those of us, for me, for every person who has problems making goals or seeing the future clearly, first of all, help us keep our mind, our eyes fixed on your Son Jesus, the goal of our faith. Lord, I pray that you help clarify things, Lord, so clear away the darkness and the confusion, God. I pray that this would be a year, this coming decade, that we could let go of the past, we can take hold of the present, and we can press on toward the future, the one that you have created for us, that you're creating moment by moment. In Jesus' name, amen.